Let's open our Bibles back to Revelation 22. And we left off in verse 10. And it was so beautiful, once again, as the Lord says, and is encouraging through that ministering angel, again, a bridal saint, and thanking God for this encouragement to us. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. We rejoiced, and I continue to rejoice, thinking about Brother Paul's heart. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. We better take note that that brother, boy, I'll tell you, he just wanted to be ready for the Lord's coming. And he wasn't just wanting to be ready. He was looking and loving. And he thought, man, Jerusalem would be such a great place to meet him, you know, in a sense. But, I mean, that meeting was going to be in the air if the Lord was going to come. I understand that. Praise God. But he wanted to be there. But the whole purpose was the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Every heartbeat, every thought. As much as he loved giving out the word of God, and as much as he loved seeing people grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Paul wanted to meet the Lord in the air. And he wanted to be alive, praise God, at the trump. And thank the Lord, he was looking for that. And thank you, Jesus, that season's always at hand. But it really is at hand because we're so much closer. But once again, here, the Word of God given us so much emphasis to read and to know the prophecy of this book of Revelation. You know, it doesn't say that about other books of the Bible, even though we should, and we know we need to know the Word of God. But if you think about the prophecies of this book, are the prophecies of this book not throughout all of the Word of God too? Amen. So it includes it all, but it's specifically and specially emphasizes knowing this revelation. I thank God how people have turned out and want to hear. And I thank the Lord that I don't believe it's just a sensational thing. It's what I'm expecting for my life. I'm seeing my place, praise God, in one of those churches. I'm seeing my calling, praise God, no doubt, the Church of Philadelphia. So I'm thanking God for what he's doing. But this is something that often is so unknown to most Christians. Something that many Christian meetings and things really stay away from. Oh, might read through it, but let's not study. It might draw some great confusion. Well, when it's met in man's mind, everything would be confusing, and it is. But as we trust the Spirit and have the word rightfully divided through Paul's gospel, it's amazing what a cookie on a shelf this stuff can be, is it not? Praise God. And it gets that way more and more every time the Lord has us glean things through this. But three different times in this precious Revelation chapter, I should say this book of Revelation, this is stated, the Lord, this is intended, he instructs us to know, and not just to know, but he says, keep these things dear to your heart. Dear to your heart. This means needs to be a keepsake. My love's coming. Praise God. I'm reading, and I mentioned it. It's fun to watch my son and his fiance, and you know, they're planning, and God willing, it's a year away. Where are you going to go? Well, we're going to go here, and we're going to go see this and that and everything. They're talking about their honeymoon and all these things. He's talking about our honeymoon and all these things. And that's the truth. It's the truth. This is not a fantasy. This is really, truly what it is. I mean, praise God. And he's given us some insights of that. But then there's that exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. Wow. Praise be to God. So, it's exciting. And the Lord give us this vision of the place that the Lord wants us to take in it, which is in the midst of the throne with him. Amen. And let's be ready. And it's because he reveals the season is at hand. And our season, brothers and sisters, is the bridal season. We're in the season of the first trump rapture. And I thank God that We know this. God, through his great grace, is quickening our hearts. But as we've seen, and as we're going to be encouraged again tonight, the word of the Lord speaks to every company. And the word of God is faithful and true. And he'll never leave nor forsake any of his children. And there's going to be a season at hand, which obviously is for us, for the bridal calling. There's going to be a season that's at hand for the 144,000. Because he's going to be calling those ones out. Every time I think about them, I start to get chills. I wonder why. I love thinking about that. And then, as we're going to see tonight specifically, the Lord in his great grace calls out that last time at the end of the millennium. As there's the sheep nations and there's the goat nations, and he knows they're lining up. But it's the last call. The season's at hand. Think about that. So that's how faithful our God is. And tonight, we're going to see that. There's a specific call tonight, even though there's a general call to all of us to be ready, which we'll glean tonight. There's going to be a specific call of readiness at the end of the millennium, showing once again how much Jesus cares for all his children, how much he loves the world and his blood that was shed for the sin of all men. So we want to hearken, awaken, because the time is at hand. Now, as we start here in verse 11, there's a transition that's going to happen here. As you know, we've been in the eternal age. Let's talk about this again. Right now, we're in the church age. And that church age, at the sound of the first trump, boom, it's done. Because that once that bride's taken, that time shall be no more. It's over. The time of the bride, she's gone. Everything else, now, where will you sit? All right? After that time, the day of the Lord begins. And what happens from at that time is you enter into the seven-year tribulation. We have the seven-year tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, the devil is bound, put into that bottomless pit, and we move into what's called the millennial age. That millennial time, the kingdom age, is a 1,000-year period of time. And the 12 disciples will rule on those 12 thrones over those 12 tribes. And we'll see that wonderful transition as Jesus Christ takes the throne as God for those 1,000-year period of time. Now, at the end of that kingdom age, it says that the devil is loosed for a short season out of the pit of hell. And in that short season, there are peoples that have been throughout those 1,000 years that were just obedient, but not as of heart. They just went along with it. It was feigned obedience. It wasn't sincere. There was something that was seen, maybe tasted, but it wasn't, again, taken in, the blood. And so the Lord at that time, he brings before him the sheep nations and the goat nations, and he separates them apart. We read that in Matthew 25. And they stand before him, and those goat nations will be cast into the lake of fire, and those of the sheep nations will go forward into the eternal age. And that's what we've been in, is that eternal age. Remember the eternal age? That's when there's a new heaven and a new earth. Everything, even of a lie, is all cast into the lake of fire, never to be remembered again. Sin is gone, completely gone. Thank you, Lord. Faith made whole, sight, and that's it. It's just Jesus time, praise God. And it's so wonderful that we know that this is coming. But this is this transition that we go back. We're going to see into the end of the millennium here just for a moment again. Once again, when the devil is lit out of that pit for that little short season, and that's what's being emphasized here. And the saints that will be on the earth at that time, Those again will be the earth dwellers, as well as the people of the earth that are still there, that are those feigned obedient ones, those ones that are goat nation folks. They're going to be warned. You better be ready for this. This is it. This is it. There will never be another opportunity. Think of that. At the end of the millennium, there will never be another opportunity for a life to believe in Jesus. It'll be done. It will be done. In a sense of that choice. Because going forward, there's no sin. It's all gone. It's over. So I thank the Lord that this love of our wonderful Lord goes forth. That this is the last opportunity. This is it. Everything of a lie is going to be swallowed up in the lake of fire. This is the time of the sheep and the goat nation. So, as we proceed here into verse 11 of chapter 22, I'm encouraged to go to verse 14 to kind of set the tone of why I'm emphasizing this, that we're getting a little bit of an encouragement, really, to all ages, don't get me wrong, but specifically to those at the end of the millennial time. So let's read verse 14 together just for a moment. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So let's think again about what we just read. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that may have right to the tree of life. All right. Remember, as we left off a couple weeks ago, we saw the tree of life that they would come in and feed upon. We saw that they would enter in through the gates of the city. And who were those that were entered in through the gates of the city? Those were the earth dwellers during the eternal age. They would go in there. The kings of the earth would bring their glory into it. Amen? So we know that those are the ones that would be going in at that time. Those would be the ones that are going in. I thank the Lord that we also see they go into the city. So what is the city? The city is New Jerusalem. Amen? So we know that that's the church. So we're talking about those that will be going into that. But we notice how it's stated there that they may have right to the tree of life. So we know that in that eternal age, everyone that's on that earth, they got right to go in there. Because they're just and holy, because they're all of the blood of the Lamb. They're all the sons of God that'll be left at that time. Everyone upon that earth will know the Lord. Praise God. So where we're at, because it says that there are dogs and whoremongers, those types of things. So we're basically at that time of emphasis at the end of the millennium where you have these sheep and these goat nations. So I want to emphasize that, again, these are the clues. We know what is directed here, that those in the millennial time on earth need to wake up and even take him as Savior. Because after the millennial time, there will be no more opportunity. You're either righteous and go into the city, into New Jerusalem to eat of him, or you are without. And if you are without, you're going to be of those of the sinners in the lake of fire for eternity. And that's it. So praise God as he gives us the word of God to come forth. This is truly the time of the last call. Because after the millennium, once again, there will be no more devil. There will be no more sin. There will be nothing of a lie. After the millennium, we will have our new heaven and we will have our new earth. And thank the Lord that we are encouraged in this. Now, let's go back and read verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is, which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. How wonderful and how sweet. The time is at hand. And brothers and sisters, not just the coming of the Lord, but specifically here, the time is at hand, is the entire judgment and completion of judgment again, especially to those at the end of the millennial time. The time is at hand. Notice here as it starts. Those that are unjust, let them be unjust still. Well, I'll tell you what. They're always going to be unjust. If you're going to go as a sinner and never take the blood of the Lamb, you're never going to be anything but unjust. Those that are filthy, defiled, yes, sinners, they will forever be in that sinful state. But the righteous, praise God. The righteous, praise God, they'll be forever righteous. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's the seed that remaineth. But then, as the Lord is encouraging all throughout Revelation, there are ranks. And now he talks about the holy. The ones set apart, sanctified. Amen? Those are the lovers, praise God. The worshipful ones, the purest of love. And she will be that bride, and that bride will always have her place. So once again, the Lord is encouraging. No matter what company somebody would take, be ready, be watching. Amen? And it's so sweet to me because he never changes. The word of the Lord is always passionate for his people. It doesn't change. And his love is so powerful that it's calling out continually all the way to that very last time. Of those that would sit there in the balance that would end up in the lake of fire. Wake up. Wake up. It's marvelous. And behold, in verse 12, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. We had a good time with that on Sunday, didn't we? Praise the Lord. If you weren't here Sunday and missed that, I encourage you to go listen to it. It's precious stuff. But see, we have a warning and a proclamation here. I come quickly. It's lightning, even quicker than that. Twinkling of an eye, boom, and it's done. And the beautiful thing, I love this, that my reward is with me. There's so many layers in this, brothers and sisters. But first of all, every child of God, when they meet God, it will never be with judgment. It will never be with judgment when he meets his sons. It will always be with reward. There will be nothing but reward. And God help us to know this. There will never be the white throne of judgment for any Christian. I know so many want to stand there because they talk about it a lot. But they're going to be so happy they didn't. Amen. Aren't you thankful to know that? And just to think, if there's nothing to judge of sin, why would I need to be judged of that white throne? That's the truth. Know that. Understand that. That will never happen to any Christian. For Christians, our judging is going on right now. As the word of the Lord says, it is the judgment seat of Christ. Go into Romans 14, 2 Corinthians 5, you will read of that. You'll read of that judgment seat of Christ that is going on right now. And the judgment seat of Christ for us is to determine our reward and what reward he will meet us with. Will our lives be that of gold, silver, and precious stone? Or will we have just built up a lot of wood, hay, and stubble? And that's it. Those will be the choices that we make as we go forward. Amen. And we continue to make. And we know the gold, silver, and precious stone. Think of this again. What is the only thing that's ever going to last forever? The Word of God. So right there tells you the only thing that would be of any reward in your life is the Word of God. That's why it says so sweetly here, to give every man according as his work shall be. On Sunday, we went right over there to Ephesians 2:10. To show very clearly that the work is the Lord's. For we are his workmanship. Said and done. He does the work. Praise God. Now, you read on, and it says not only does he do the work, but he prepared before he ever made a star or that sun that's going to go out here for a minute or whatever that is. Before any of that was ever set in motion, he had good works for you to walk therein. For you personally, every one of us, praise God. That's the word of the Lord. So once again, not only does he do the work, he prepared all of the good works for us to walk in. And then how sweetly, as we were encouraged, well, how do we walk in them? How do we walk? By faith. By faith. So, again, what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So for me to walk in those good works that were before ordained, it's got to be the word of the Lord. That has to be strengthened in my life. Just think of all the good works. This is really wonderful, what's just flooding my heart right now. Think of all the good works that are intended for each and every one of us, all the way to the midst of the throne, the bride of Christ. Amen? But without Paul's gospel, how could I ever walk in those good works to enjoy that reward? It's impossible. It couldn't happen. Amen? That's why it has to be the word of his grace. That's why it has to be the whole counsel of God. That's why it must be Paul's gospel and preach no other gospel. That's why we must receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be encouraged in the depths of the truth, that we would know this and know it in that depth of that intimacy. Praise the Lord. He's so perfect and exact, isn't he? But he wants that for each and every one of his children, because once again, we are born all the same. The same life, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that life is the life of the King. The King. Praise God. Born to rule and reign. But once again, as the Word of God tells us, if we don't grow in the knowledge, in faith of the life that lives in us, which comes through the Word of God, I'll never grow up with that knowledge. I'll never understand my inheritance. I'll never understand the wealth. I'll never understand the love of the heart of my Savior for me. And if I just remain a child and flatline in the knowledge of truth and remain that babe in Christ, I'll have knowledge of nothing more than a servant in the kingdom, even though I was born a little lord of all. God forbid. Amen? With such a Savior and such a Father, that just inspires me by the Spirit. Lord, I want to grow up. And I want to grow up for you. And I want to grow up for me. I want to grow up for us. What a love story. Amen? Praise God. So, it's wonderful. And brothers and sisters, God help us to know these things. But this is encouragement that all of us would wake up at the place that we are in our lives. Think of this, even to the call to the world. The Lord is trying to, with his precious word, even to wake up a sinner out of death. Amen. He's waking up a slumbering Christian. There's no need for you to go into the tribulation. We were not appointed to wrath, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Not a one of us. We were born to soar out of here on the first trump. Wonderful. And brothers and sisters, the call to us who are hearing this, remain awake. Our eye can slumber so quickly. We can get caught away into the cares, entangled with the affairs of this life. And you see it in every dimension of our society. It's getting thicker that bondage is getting greater. That entanglement is just like tentacles that are just trying to just destroy God's precious people. And that's what the enemy does. He kills, steals, and destroys. That's what he does. It's all he can do. He knows he can't keep you out of heaven, but the one thing he is sure wanting to fight from you winning God's best. And you know it if you're fighting. But you know who's for you. And if he be for you, devil, you don't got a chance. You don't got a chance. Because God fights for me. He's on my side. He told me that. He told you that in the Word of God. That's just good thinking because that's his mind and his love. But this is here, as we started tonight, I want you to know, is even a specific encouragement to those that will be at the end of the millennial time. And I think how wonderful the Word of God is. The Word of our Lord never changes, does it? It's all powerful. And this holds all the instruction. The Word of God holds all the instruction and all the hope, all the calling for every Christian in every age. We are reading right now what will be the encouragement at that time to those, especially believers, but that call that will even go out to those at the end of the millennial time. Because the Word of the Lord never changes. I just think it's so incredible that this is how amazing our God is. It is finished, is it not? It's finished. All of the call, all of the Word, all of everything, it is finished. I just think it's so excited to think, oh my goodness, he loves us so. And here, that's what we're reading, is the time of this encouragement at the end of the millennial time when that devil is loosed. I can hear him say, oh, honeys, don't get all rattled up. I'm going to destroy him. Just go back to the Word. Huh? Isn't that what he does with you? He's out there, and he ain't going around like a roaring lion yet. And I will correct you if you're going to say it that way. I don't want to give him any credit. But he's sure getting practice. But we can't imagine when he goes around like a roaring lion. Because it says in the Word of God, the world has never seen such a time. All right. Now, let's move on. Let's notice here that the reward, once again, is according to every man's work. A sinner is going to be rewarded. You know what they're going to reward? The reward will be? The lake of fire. Yep. There's your badge. And it's very sad. Didn't need to be that way, but you're going to get what you've sown. Christians have rewards for eternity with Christ. I love the word work. It means the thing accomplished. And so simply, it's how much of the Word of God was accomplished in your life determines your reward. That's it. How much did you believe? Praise God. And we know this. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. This is just some encouragement, again, to these believers that are receiving Paul's gospel. And the name Thessalonians, by the way, it means co-reigning. Remember that. So these are co-reigning heirs. This is such an encouragement to our hearts. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, how does Paul start out writing his letter to them? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, or the working of faith in you. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what he's saying, I cease not giving thanks to God for the working of the truth in your life. That growth, that amazing Word that's there. And what happens with that? There's a labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, go on over to 2 Thessalonians, because he has to write to them again, because you know what? Paul's heart's just so full of love. And he's so encouraged by these co-heirs, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ. And he says to them this next time verse 3, of 2 Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Isn't that amazing? I just love that. So it was the working of faith because their faith was growing exceedingly. And what happens when that happens? As and the charity or the love of every one of you all towards each other abounds. Oh my. So that we ourselves glory in you and in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye shall endure. And that brings us right back to where we are his workmanship. And God has appointed us those before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Let me tell you something. The majority of those things are trials. Those are the good works. That's the trying of your faith. That's when the word hits the road. You've heard the rubber hits the road. That's where the word hits the road is, you know, I'm facing this thing. I read about it, but do I believe? Am I allowing the Spirit, praise God, to minister to my heart as I'm riding along? Don't necessarily know where I'm going as it's going to go, but I know one thing, it's going to lead to my bridegroom. Praise God. See how Abraham, he sought the best. He didn't know whether he went, but he was seeking that continuing city whose builder and maker is God. And it's all about the city, isn't it? And Abraham wanted to see the city. And praise be to God, I want to be the glory in that city for him. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. It's exciting. See, it just... it's him. It's everything. It's the word, the precious stones. It's, got to contain it here. I'm going to scream. All right. Now, verse 13. Let's go on back to Revelation 22. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Going back over to John, chapter 1. Let's read from verse 1 together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And over to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All authority, brothers and sisters, the creator of it all, the holder of it all, and here we go, the final judge of it all. Beginning, end, first, last, nothing else but Him. Praise be to God, that's my Savior, that's my love, that's my God. And by the grace of God, that'll be my bridegroom. Now I'm going to ask us, why are we worrying about anything? Huh? And it's so sweet because this is who He is. And praise be to God, let's just remain in that first love. Because what a husband He is. Hallelujah. Back to verse 14 of chapter 22. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, once again, we don't worry about those of the church entering into the gates of the city, because by the grace of God, we're the precious stones in the city. Of that, you understand, and I pray to be of that bridal company in that city. Now, we're encouraged here. I thank the Lord for the word of the Lord. You have to think of this, that do His commandments. That's a big one for people. Just get over it. It's the word of the Lord. And thank God that we know that all His commandments were fulfilled by the blood of Jesus and by faith. They were completed for us, hallelujah, through that wonderful salvation by the blood of the Lamb. And I thank God as it encourages us at this time. It's all fulfilled in what? That ye love one another. Isn't that something? See, that's what's coming forth so fervently right now, because as the Lord had quickened my heart some years ago, I've seen bridal saints. I should say I've seen saints that know the bridal truth in their head, that really love the head, meaning Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. But have no love for the body of Christ. Well, let me explain something to you. You will never marry him without marrying the whole thing. That's it. And that's why it's got to be perfect love. Complete love. Love without dissimulation. Love that loves one another. Love that's not questioning. It's been hurtful to my heart. I don't want you to have confidence in me. But by the grace of God, I pray that you love Christ in me. And I would pray that you trust the love of Christ in me. And I mean that. Without trust, brothers and sisters, we can't perfectly love one another. We can't. Marriages can't have perfect love if they don't trust one another. Marriages, and especially the marriage of the Lamb, ain't going to work unless there's full confidence in him. I love you. And I pray that you know that. I'm just a man. And I know my love would fail. But I love you with the love of God. And as your pastor, by the grace of God, I pray that you would pray for me and understand it's not me, but it's Christ in me. That I would want to move completely in the things of God, and especially for the benefit, hallelujah, of the love of God and growth in all of us. But we need to love one another. I don't want to size you up and think, well, what's wrong with you? What don't I trust about you? God help us not to approach each other that way. And to fight. Because things will get in there to try to do those things. And there's lots of stuff. There's just the flavor of the day. You know what I'm saying? And it just moves around. We're one. Right? There's neither Jew nor Greek. See, he took care of that right there. That's it. That's done. So I don't care where we're from. I don't care how we look. In Christ, that ain't there. Matter of fact, you know what? We're all going to have, by the grace of God, a glorious body like unto his own. So let's not get loving this too much. Stay out of the mirror, brother, you know. It's easier as we grow older to get out of that, huh? Amen. Amen. And then there's neither bond nor free. Right? Aren't you rich beyond? I think about what the world's coming at us with all the time. It's the same old thing of the devil. Break them up because of how they look. Break them up because of what they have. And I'll tell you what's going on right now. Break them up because they're male and female. Think of how we're being pitted together with sexes today. I'm glad we're neither male nor female in Christ. I'm glad. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know we're after one thing, like him. Isn't the word wonderful? It's just like gentle flowing river. Just put your feet in it and you just sit there. Good. Praise God. Let's close this up. So we go on with the word. And without hearkening to the word of God, brethren, our life's going to be a disaster. We can try to make it work otherwise, but it ain't going to work. Without hearkening to the word of God for a sinner, it ends up in one place, and that's in the lake of fire. Yep. There's even more than a hell. I always remember that guy said, oh, you bring in that hell and heavens? Oh, yeah. And, you know, I even believe in a lake of fire. I don't want you to end up there. Real simple. We take care of that real quick here. If you're going, oh. That's truth. But that's why We have verse 15, as we'll end with that tonight, specifically as referring to, as we brought out tonight, especially to those throughout the millennial time that would be right there at the end of that time, remaining in that feigned obedience. And yet here is the call of the Lord in such encouragement. Right when Satan's going to be released from that pit after those 1,000 years. And if they don't turn to the Lord, they're going to join all the rest of hell in the lake of fire. Because as verse 15 says, without the blood, without that blood that causes you and gives you the ability to enter into the gates of that city, what's going to happen? You're a dog, sorcerer, whoremonger, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Isn't that something? You could think that you were skating through there. Well, I'm not a sorcerer. I don't know if I'm a whoremonger, idolater. And then we got to the lie part. Oops. All men are liars. We know it. So we conclude here tonight that even a lie, there's no escape but the blood of the Lamb. But oh, the blood cleanses us from all sin. Praise his name. Sure love you. Thank the Lord. And if he tarry, I believe God willing, next Wednesday we'll conclude with our study. It's been a sweet journey. And the Lord's really encouraged my heart with some studies on David's sweet companion, Jonathan. There's quite a few bridal truths that have been springing up in my heart that I am thankful that on that little camel journey, we took a stop at the well. And we'll share some of those things together, praise God. All right, let's stand and